Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
All right, welcome back. Quickie. That's good. Nice job, Dell. Keeping them short. Keeping those breaks short. Dell is one of the great producers in radio history.
Oh, that's not what you've been saying.
I always say that. Always talking about my
man.
You
know what? I've tried at times to keep this show on track and, like, keep us in a reasonable time frame for breaks, but I don't care anymore. You guys have just decided you don't care. I don't care.
I care.
So
we care.
We'll start a show. We'll start an hour at 8:08. Who cares? As long as the ID plays in a certain time frame, that's all I care about. As long as it plays between
you talk about a beaten man.
As long as it plays between 55 and 05, which makes it legal, I'm good. You want to start your second hour at 8:10? That's fine with me. I mean, the way you guys end the third hour, I start my show at 10:10. So what's the difference?
By design.
No, but your design, not mine.
We don't design that. Matter of fact, John, let's make sure we're out at 55 today.
Yeah, please do.
Did you hear that, John?
You can do that.
Let's get out at 40. We'll get out at 40.
Can you do that?
Let's get out at 40. We pick up 45.
About 10 minutes for you every day.
That's on you guys, not me.
Okay? That's what we do. We just absolutely give you. I mean, that's all we do is work for you. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's how this goes.
Yeah, that's how this goes.
I hope you guys do stick to it. 9:55 would be great. John can get out at a reasonable time, and Lance can go watch players that he doesn't want to write up.
I'm starting to like some of the players.
What about Jennings Dunker?
He's a wildling.
He is kind of a wildling.
He's straight from Game of Thrones. I don't think I told you this on the air, so I went up and introduced myself, said, you know, they won the Joe Moore Award, which is the best offensive line of the year, and I'm part of the selection committee, and I was telling them, hey, we watched a lot of you guys, blah, 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 congratulations, and I write up your individual scouting report. So he hasn't seen it yet. It's not released. He won't like me here in about a month. But he's like, oh, man, that's awesome. Do you get tired of watching offensive line play? Watching so much? Do you get tired of that? I'm like, well, yeah, if it's bad, yeah. I mean, we have to watch a lot of offensive lines, and most of it isn't good. So, yeah, that's not great. I said, but you guys were good, so it's fun watching teams, units who block well. He goes, yeah, so I was listening to Andy Wydell from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was sitting next to him and Brian Baldinger, and we were all talking, and Baldy was talking about how many of these offensive linemen are like farmers. He said Creed Humphrey from Kansas City was a farmer. He talked about, like, Brendan Scherff, I think, was a farmer. And this kid was a farmer who baled hay. And I guess there was Gray Zabel did woodworking and farming. And for some reason, there's some connection between farm work and field work and woodworking and offensive line play somehow. But he is a typical Iowa, like, he really looks the part. He is a big redhead. He's got a big red mullet, a big red mustache, and his body type, like, he's just carved. For an offensive lineman, he's pretty carved. I think he's good. I don't think he's, like, great, but he looks the part. So,
well, Shane Jennings Leckler Dunker's was a excited. Farmer, too, right?
Farmers fight. Well, yeah, I mean, all Aggies are farmers.
Well, he
in a way.
Bailed hay, and that's how he got he had to pick it up with his leg, and that's how his leg got so strong.
Oh, okay. Because when they say farmers fight, I didn't know if they meant, like, everyone who plays there. So, is Marcel Reed, did he farm?
I don't know if Marcel Reed does, per se. His dad's a coach.
Do they only bring guys in from the portal? Mario Craver, did he come from a farm somewhere? Is that why they brought him in?
I don't know that everybody in the NFL now is a farmer. But okay.
Well, I'm saying if you're with the Aggies, did you know that that's what they say, farmers fight, right?
Yeah. So
you know that's an Aggies thing.
Yeah, I know that. So the Texans are going to get Jennings Dunker? That's great.
No, hopefully not in the first round. There's a lot of other guys I'd rather see. The best guy that I watched yesterday, the guy who had the best day, well, there's a couple of them. I wrote up five of them. James Brockermeyer, the center from Miami, was unbelievable in one-on-one drills. Let me tell you something. So he's 297 pounds. And these defensive linemen, so in one-on-one drills, you have one guy going against another guy, and there's no help from the guy next to you, and there's, you know, it's just a simulation where everyone's watching this one-on-one battle. I'd say anywhere from 65 to 70% are won by the defensive players. If you're a center, it's probably more like 75 to 80% is won by the defensive players because they're usually a lot heavier, a lot bigger.
Well, Mark Schlereth just talked about it. They're better athletes.
Well, but the technique, this kid, James Brockermeyer, who's 297 pounds, played 3 years at Miami, 3 years at Alabama, he got 37 snaps. He went to TCU, was honorable mention. His dad is Blake Brockermeyer, who was a first-round pick in 1995, played for the Texas Longhorns, played 9 years in the NFL. This kid stopped every single bull rush in one-on-one drills, every single one. That's unheard of. I've never, in all the years I've come to the Senior Bowl, I have never seen this level of dominance in that drill from a center because they're just not big enough to do that. And this kid was unbelievable. Other ones who are, I'm trying to think, Aggies. There's no one from the Cougs. A former Coug. Remember, John, the guy I told you about from Western Michigan? He dominated. Some guy who played at Houston who barely got any snaps, then went to Western Michigan, had like 14 and a half sacks, some crazy number. He got invited to the Senior Bowl. He has literally 1 year of playing football, basically. 1 year. At Houston, he couldn't play. I think he came from a community college, maybe. Then he went to Houston, didn't play. I think they had some issues with just personality and accountability and stuff like that. He went to Western Michigan and put up staggering numbers. He's out here at the Senior Bowl, and Johnny Harris and I were talking. This guy dominated everybody. I've got to look him. I wrote him up, and I actually lowered his grade after some of the stuff I heard about character. But then when you talk to Western Michigan, they say he was a model citizen. They say Houston probably gave up on this kid too quick because he's way too good.
What's the name?
Let me pull him up. He's from Western Michigan. And I don't think the Cougs thought very highly of him in general, but he is a real problem out here. His name is Nadame Tucker, N-A-D-A-M-E, Nadame Tucker, and he was at University of Houston and literally did nothing, like did absolutely nothing at University of Houston, and then gets to Western Michigan. And so I thought, okay. And I watched him on tape. Yeah, he had 14 and a half sacks during the season. I watched him on tape. I mean, career stats, tackles, one tackle in 2022, seven tackles in 2023, two tackles in 2024. He had no sacks ever in 3 years. And then this year he has 14.5. The definition of a one-year wonder. And it looks real out here at the Senior Bowl. Like, it is, he has real talent. Houston just, I can't say they missed on him, but they didn't like him. If he couldn't play for them because he wasn't, you know, doing what he was supposed to do, you gotta get that guy out of here. But I just know he's just grew up.
That's all. Maybe you never know. You never know.
I saw Jason Taylor, the Miami Hurricanes Jason Taylor. Mm-hmm. I talked to Kalen DeBoer briefly. Not much was said there. Kalen was just as reserved and quiet in person as he looks like he would be on the sideline.
Did he have good things to say about your son?
I mentioned, hey, my son works for you. He didn't say one thing. He just kept looking at me.
Oh,
nothing.
Okay. There it is.
I told Alec, I said, I don't think he knows you. I don't think he knows you at all. Because I mentioned you and he didn't say,
Ask
he didn't
him.
Even say this. Oh, okay, yeah. He just said he waited for me to say the next thing I was going to say.
Ask him if he knows the pumps, because he's friends with the pumps.
I'm not going to ask anyone if they know the pump, brothers. Because
they
may think I'm wearing
pump.
A wire.
Does he want a pump? No.
No, the pump brothers are notorious.
Yeah.
They may think I'm wearing a wire when I ask him.
We got a break.
You know the pumps? No, I don't. Who's
ESPN
asking?
ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato
back
and
here.
Lance
okay,
Zierlein.
We got to get these guys in here because they've been waiting.
Right. Yep.
Enough of your tomfoolery.
Enough of this
about,
draft.
About the draft. I mean, it's in April or something.
Look at me talking to people who don't want to talk back. Kayla DeBoer. Like,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's how Bobby Sloak probably was, too, just looking at you.
Oh, 100%. I could tell. And then look at him now. Keep that same energy. And why
you
hey,
mean the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins? Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a dead-end job with Tua.
That is
kind of who's coach killer.
Well, apparently CJ's a coach killer, too, so we all got problems.
Oh, no, we know that. Adrian is here. Adrian, what up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love the show, as always. I just want to call in and say, y'all might have talked about this earlier with the Rockets yesterday, but Houston definitely has a problem, and the NBA has a problem in San Antonio and Wimby. It just really sucks because we got KD this year, Fred VanVleet got hurt, and even with VanVleet, or even a better point guard, I don't even think the Rockets would win this year. And I don't know if the Spurs are going to win this year, but I think they're going to win the next few years with that centerpiece. And just bear with me for a second for humor. Have we actually looked at Wimby's papers? Just can we just double check him just to make sure that he's supposed to be here? Because I don't know, because that guy's a problem. He is a serious problem, and he's got so much more room to grow. And so I just want to hear what y'all think about that and the Rockets' chances of winning the championship while Wimby's in San Antonio.
Well, I just hope that he keeps talking about ice and – you know, and powers that be in Washington take notice of that. And maybe they'll say, hey, maybe you don't belong in this country. You should go back to France and play in your communist country.
Soft-stepping around it, never mentioned a government agency by name, just said, hey, doesn't understand why civilians are getting murdered, what's the deal here. So he also talked about, if you missed it, for people who didn't hear, he talked about, hey, I understand the consequences, so I kind of got to be a little careful because of the personal things that could happen regarding what could happen to me. If I think he meant more like maybe monetarily.
Know your place.
Stuff like that. But he's aware of a lot. He's aware of what's going on and aware of what he could lose if his words reach people in a way that makes them.
Bear with me for a second, guys. Have we really checked his papers?
Well, he asked a question.
Does he belong here?
I don't like making the ice jokes and stuff. It's a serious thing. However, not on the air, but in mix. But when the mics are off and the three of us, I've got some jokes on Wimby, like that kind of stuff. Like we got to get him out of here because what he's saying is true. Like in real life, Wimby is.
He's a problem.
I mean, we knew this. We knew this from the time he was 16 and videos started surfacing of what he was able to do. I think he was 15. It's ridiculous. He's got range. He's a smooth mid-range jump shooter. He doesn't have to have back-to-the-basket. That's not bad. People don't make livings with back-to-the-basket anymore. He's a shot blocker, and God forbid. Now, I feel like he's got a frame that might carry 15 more pounds. I don't think it's going to look a lot different, to be honest with you.
I don't know. He looks like Kevin Durant to me.
How old is Wimby now? Is he 21? Is he 21, Dell?
I'd have to
15?
Look.
15? I don't know. How old is Juan Soto? No one. I mean he's still 12 or something, right?
You'll keep filling out a lot of times, so you're, you know, some people. I mean, you'll naturally keep filling out until you're like 23, I think. And then the weights and stuff. I don't know if he hits the weights, but
he turned 22 earlier this month.
Yeah, 20. I mean, he could be. I don't think that. I thought Jabari Smith by now was going to fill out and look a lot different, and he doesn't. his body type, even if he's gaining weight, he doesn't look substantially different from year to year. And I thought Jabari would end up at like 250 pounds, and that does not look like it's – I really thought he was going to fill out, get thicker, have big, broader shoulders, and his body type looks kind of the same, to be honest.
Keeps talking. Maybe that visa will run out when he's 23. Okay.
I was a little worried, by the way, when Isaiah Stewart started saying stuff to.
Yeah, I know the other night.
I was like, please don't let him beat up Jabari this game.
No, Isaiah Stewart's a problem too.
Yeah, Isaiah Stewart, I will beat your ass, and I'm like, he will, Jabari, he will.
Yes,
say your stuff to somebody else, but don't say it to him.
Hey, Isaiah Stewart, don't talk. Isaiah Stewart just punches. That's what he does. Chris is here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, before I get to my comment, when Schlereth called in, I thought it was Schlereth on the mobile because he jumped right into that hot spot with those ads. And I was like, what the heck is going on here? I thought we were talking football. So kind of threw me off for a minute there. Lance, I had a quick question for you. And it almost feels like with Gary, it's reverse racism when it comes to some of the analysts that you said were afraid to write things up. Like, if an analyst is afraid to write things up because someone's a color, that feels like it is actually racism in the reverse way. And I have an honest question for you, and I'd like you to answer, and I'll hang up and listen. If Davis Mills was a starting quarterback playing like CJ, and I like CJ, I collect baseball cards, I have a lot of CJ cards, hoping he does well because it's good for me. But if Davis was the starting quarterback and was playing like CJ, CJ was on the bench and it had a 3-0 game, 3-0 like record this year when Davis was hurt, would Gary be advocating for Davis to stay because he's got talent, or would he not? I mean, that's an honest question. I feel like I know the answer.
Gary's already told you the answer.
We know.
And then Gary's already said the answer already before. He already said it's. He said I'm for black quarterbacks. So, no, but I mean, it wouldn't be any different if Davis Mills was the second pick of the draft who had been offensive rookie of the year. People would expect patience to be with him, but if he played that wretchedly, you know, we would want CJ to come in and try to rescue the team, even if we didn't think CJ was as good. If you literally switched all circumstances completely the same, but just switched the players. But CJ doesn't deserve to lose his job to Davis Mills full time.
No,
I'm
agree.
Not advocating
that. He needs more time. The only reason why we push it is because of the contract situation. John, yeah. I have one quick question for you. My boys and I were watching the game last night before the Rockets game, Lakers-Cavs. And one of my 13-year-old said, man, there's four white guys on the court. And my 15-year-old said, no, there's not. And my 13-year-old said, yeah, Luka's white. And then they started arguing that Luka is not considered.
Oh, there it is.
Look at four white guys on the court, that Luka's not a white guy. What would you say to that?
He's a white guy. Look at his skin.
No.
My other guy said he's not. He's European. He's not a white guy. He's European.
He's a white guy.
That's right. You're right.
Luka are not the same.
I'm with your older son. I'm with the other side. If you didn't play Little League Baseball, you're a white guy.
I'm not
a white guy.
I'm sorry. Czechoslovakians, Turks,
not
white guys.
He's not Czechoslovakian.
Yeah, Czechoslovakians are
Czechoslovakians?
White. They're white.
I don't know that's
actually.
That's
not who he
people.
Is.
They're white people.
He's Slovenian.
What?
He's Slovenian is what he is.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that. He's Slovenian, Czechoslovakian.
But he's not a white boy,
Turkish,
though.
They're white
boy's
people.
Different. Okay, but he's not a white boy.
You know
he's
what
a white guy.
Mean.
He's not a white
stop
boy.
Stop being like. Stop acting
he's
like
being
you don't
glib.
Know what we're talking about.
He
yeah,
knows what
glib.
We're talking
you know
about.
What we're talking about.
No, he's.
He actually believes this, so.
Okay, player
the one son was right. There were four white guys on the floor. He's a white guy.
He's being literal. John's being literal. He knows what we're talking about. But no, but he's always said this. He believes Yao is a white guy. Ask him.
Go ahead.
Am I wrong?
He's what?
You've argued that he was a white guy before.
Well, if he was, okay, is Yao white or black?
He's Chinese.
Yeah, he'd end up
he's,
on the white.
He's
on
neither.
Team white.
He's neither is what the answer is.
Well, he'd end up on team white, I'm sure.
No, he wouldn't. We have a long history of telling you that team white's pretty specific about who they want on their team. And Yao wouldn't be on the team.
Listen, if
Yao
I was in charge of the draft, I'd take Yao on team white.
But you're not the drafter.
Okay.
Yeah, but would you take him if he was 6'1 and turnover prone? No. Mm. Yeah.
Well, you have that in town.
Oh, well, I mean, who got Tiger Woods in the
stop it. Stop it. He's tall. He's taller than 6'1.
You already have 6'1 in turnover.
He's taller than 6'1. Reed's taller than 6'1. Yes.
I thought Diego Pavio was 6'1 too until he got to the combine.
I always knew he was
Senior Bowl.
It was. It wasn't even a big deal to me. I saw his national. So we have a scouting service that is. Well, they give it to pro teams. I got it from somebody that has verified heights and weights. I already knew Pavi was below 5'10", and I just. I don't know. I didn't realize they had him listed at 6 foot. When you see him out there, he is New Mexico Johnny Manziel. He's built differently, and he's been okay out here at the Senior Bowl. He's okay, but he is just. Oh, you know who I saw yesterday on the. You know who was running around the field? Dom. Do you know who Dom is? When I say Dom, you know who that is, John? No. Do you remember?
Big Dom?
Big Dom. Yeah, people are like, Big Dom. Yes, he's here with his chains and his earrings and his gold wire-rimmed or maybe a silver wire-rimmed glasses. And these coaches, like, people knew him. Well, it seemed like they were Italians, honestly. Italian coaches were like, Big Dom, what's going on? They'd come over and see him. There was some guy from Memphis who had this gigantic ring on who came over. It really looked like your people were getting ready for some gabagool and a discussion about things. But Big Dom
that's
was
– okay, though. Oh, yeah. My people
no, I can
getting
do
ready
that.
For gabagool. It's
well,
okay.
I mean, you had a whole –
the Italians that we all
right.
eat gabagool.
Then don't put Sopranos on
is
the
that
air.
We are.
Don't put Sopranos on the
you
air.
You consider
then.
That slander?
We kind of do. We all eat gabagool.
So Big Dom, Big Dom was on the sideline?
At the house. Oh, yeah? A little spicy. Is it spicy? Yeah. All right. A little gabagool. Let's go. Time to talk a little HRP. Lance should maybe be called in with that gabagool comment.
Maybe.
All right. Let's go. Chris, I'm calling him out. I want to know if HRP is going to be calling him for that comment because we can't have that. We can't have racism in the workplace, okay? What we need is HRP to make sure that that's not going on. Anything? Do you know all the HR laws? No, you don't. Hiring and firing is a tricky thing, and HRP knows how to handle it, okay? Make sure that you got your dot your I's, cross your T's. You mess that up, the EEOC or whatever it's called, Equal Opportunity Employment, they are going to come after you, okay? So make sure that you got everything right. Make sure that you do it right. And HRP does that, okay? They're experts in HR, experts in payroll, experts in tax, experts – they know the experts in 401ks. They know the experts in insurance, and they put those experts with you. Okay, they're going to help you out, make your business better, make your business more profitable. Bottom line is bottom line. It's important that you get stuff done, not only economically, okay, and save money, but also technologically, make sure that it's done perfectly because it is every single time with HRP. We love HRP as a partner for our business. You will too. Give them a call. Make sure that your business is running as smoothly as possible. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Bluebonnet Glass for homeowners, builders, and contractors. Bluebonnetglass.com.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 7378. We had a lot of calls today. What's the deal? Thursday, people getting
that's
into,
good.
Getting into, people got riled Gary up. Gary started up.
Gary got him riled up, but the Rockets thing is a problem. To jump back into it, we haven't spent as much time as the first segment, but really bad fourth quarter for the Rockets. Really got lost offensively, and this has become a major issue for the Rockets is the ball gets sticky. There's not the movement. There's not the confidence. The confidence level, you can see the level of confidence leave the faces of the Rockets. For all the free swinging they did in the first quarter, the fourth quarter was the exact polar opposite. The confidence level, KD had some mega bricks, which he never does. He's one of the most precise shooters he's probably one of the five most, I don't know, maybe that's hyperbole, but he just, when he misses, he doesn't miss badly. He was missing badly in the fourth. Alpi did nothing, had to leave the game with an injury, which we haven't even talked about. So, you know, that's also not ideal. That he hurt, what was that, his ankle? Calf or ankle, yeah, whatever
about,
it is.
About,
I didn't see the report.
How about they got a back-to-back tonight where Tari Eason and Finney Smith won't play.
Yeah,
they've got Steven Adams done for the year.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that.
No.
Oh, my God. Good thing they got Capella, I guess, huh?
Yeah. That's a smart move. I mean,
although
Capella
he's not
coming
near.
Here and taking a third person role, a third string role, and now he's going to be. I mean, he's gotten some quality minutes lately, and he's actually, you know, he's done some nice things. He's not the same guy. He's actually throwing up more alley-oops than he is going up and dunking them. So,
but Steven Adams is such a big loss. Yeah. I mean, when they were really playing well, Steven Adams was playing well.
Yep.
And he was dominating the offensive boards, and he's an enforcer, and he gives you a level of toughness. I mean, that is such a big loss for them.
I follow a guy named Steve. His Twitter name is Steven Adams Stats, and he just Steven Adams Stats, and he is he's a big advocate. This has got to be a crushing blow for him.
What's he going to do now?
Huh?
Is he just going to point out how they're falling off without Steven Adams on the floor?
Yes,
what's he going
to
do now?
Yes, he absolutely
will. Are you familiar with this guy, Dell?
Yeah, he does a great job of illustrating how important Steven Adams is. Yes.
And it's not a joke account, it's a real account?
He's a numbers guy, much like yourself, unlike you, actually, because he actually cares about the numbers. And he points out the impact of Steven Adams. And he's a giant fan. I think he follows Steven Adams no matter where he plays. But he points out that, hey, despite what you might think, this guy is of major importance to the Rockets' success.
Yep.
Now, I think it'll be all about how the Rockets have fallen off without Steven Adams.
He's like Stressens, only stratums.
Yeah, it's just about Adams as opposed to the entire Rockets.
Stratums.
That's what I mean. The dude is going to be devastated right now. I don't think he can get out of bed.
I mean, do we know that he does it from his desk anyway?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to do it from an actual office. He could do all this stuff from his bed.
Yeah, right. I don't know. He might be, but I know he's got to be so depressed right now.
Oh, man.
713-780-3776. Here's some, see if you agree or disagree. I'm following this guy that has some Super Bowl, and see if you, some Super Bowl
props?
Some bets. Stephon Diggs, more than 3.5 catches. The Seahawks play zone coverage at a top 5 rate. And Diggs is ranked 11th among qualified wide receivers against zone coverage. Over 3.5 catches. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I like that.
Drake May, more than 32.5 rushing yards. He's 11th out of 15 quarterbacks in efficiency. He's been great in rushing. His second efficiency this postseason.
I'm going to say no because you just told me how much zone they play.
That is true. Because when they turn their back and run, then that's when the quarterback is able to. You're right. I mean, they're gonna have linebackers waiting like 4 or 5 yards down the field, 6 yards down the field. So maybe you're right about that one. Kyle Williams, I don't know. Kyle Williams is less than a half a reception. He is not much of an option lately for them. Ramondre Stevenson, more than 2.5 catches. 25 touches in the AFC Championship game, just 3 for Travion Henderson.
I think they've kind of started relying on him a little bit more in the postseason. I would say yes. I would say if you said over on both him and Diggs, worst case scenario, you go 1-1.
I don't know because, Drake May might have to dump off.
He's not a big dump-off guy, though. It almost has to be called. Like, he'll dump some off, but not sideline. I feel like it has to be little zone leakouts and things like that. But you said 2.5 catches?
Over 2.5, yeah.
I feel like it's going to hit 2.
Rashid Shaheed, longest catch, more than 15.5 yards.
I like that.
Yeah. The Patriots play a lot of man. So he is going to be running up the field. And he looks to him, too. He looks to Shaheed.
Now, the problem is if Jaxon Smith-Njigba ends up on,
but all you need is one catch over 15 yards.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I personally like it. But I don't love it if he's matched up on Gonzalez, but I still like it. He's a big play receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba, more than 6.5 catches. Over 6.5.
Oh, it gets right there, 6 or 7. That's why the number's there.
He had 10 last week.
I'm going to say
he's got to throw to him. He's got to throw to him.
Is it a shootout type of game like it was last week?
Even if it's not, I mean, he's going to throw.
Well,
I mean,
here's my thing, though. How many possessions are there going to be? Because last week there were a lot of possessions because there were fast scores. So you had a chance to get more possessions in. I guess if they're longer possessions, you don't have as many, but there's more plays. But typically you don't have as many plays on longer possessions.
Mm.
If the incomplete passes lead to a passing attack, leads to longer games. Running attack leads to shorter games. What are we going to look for? Are we going to look for more runs or more passes in
well,
this game?
Well, in that case, he's got Kenneth Walker more than 18 and a half rush attempts. Do you still like Smith and Jigba to catch 8-7 passes and yeah. you want 19 rush attempts from Kenneth Walker?
That's a hard one. That's 36 touches. I mean 26 touches just right there.
Yeah.
That's 26 snaps going to two guys. That's and George what? Helani is the backup running back. Kenneth Walker total touches I would probably say over. Catches and rushes, but they may not have that.
They got 18 and a half rush attempts.
He looked good last week. I'm like, where was this guy whenever in my fantasy league?
Right.
All of a sudden,
well,
he's decided
Zach
he wants
Charbonnet
to play
was
hard.
Healthy.
Yeah, I know, but he was running harder. Like, he looked better as a player last week.
Yeah. I think it's a contract year for him, if I'm not mistaken. Drake May, more than a half an interception.
Yes. Against that unit, yes. Yeah. I'll say yes.
Jason Myers, more than 1.5 field goals.
I can't just keep saying yes to everything.
I think that the Patriots defense may stiffen, and you got to kick a couple of field goals. I like it.
Okay.
Hunter Henry, more than half a touchdown. He has been the Patriots' most reliable red zone option. 22 red zone targets lead the team and ranks fifth among all players.
Huh. I'm going to say no, but those are pretty compelling stats.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Fifth among all
how
players.
Many touchdowns, but how many touchdowns do you see them having? How do you see the game going?
I think the Patriots could score 20, 20, 21, 20, 24. I was surprised I think this could be a 33-24 game. I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I like over 46.
Oh, no, three touchdowns, yeah.
I think I like over 46.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going under on that one, but for the reasons you said, I think the Patriots have a pretty decent defense, and I know Seattle has one. And you know, New England, I think, will be better offensively, but I'm not sure that offensive line is really built to deal with the Seahawks yet.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the Rams
Will
have
Campbell's
a pretty,
had,
the Rams
Will
have
Campbell's
a pretty
had,
good defense, too, and the Seahawks were able to move on them.
Yeah. Will Campbell has had major issues, though.
Yeah. Yep, that is true. All right, break in, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, come on right now. Oh, speaking of which, we're just talking about it. What about a little underdog?
Yeah, that's what you do. You know, I had higher on the points total for Wemby. I can't remember the rest of it yesterday, but I was trying to break down that game, and Wembanyama went higher on his point total. So we're talking about the big game coming up. We're going through that right now in this segment. How is this game? So you hear us trying to analyze how the game is going to go. That's what you have to do. How is the game going to go? Do they play zone coverage? If they do, a quarterback has less rushing yards because linebackers are always forward-facing. If there's a lot of man coverage, and you can go look these things up, quarterbacks have a chance. Quarterbacks who like to scramble many times have longer runs because players are turning their back to the quarterback and following receivers. So these are some of the things you have to do. Analyze the games, take that analysis, and turn it into picks on higher or lower on statistics on the big game coming up. And it's legal here in the state of Texas. Real money. You can win real money. You get your money quickly when you want. But the only way you can play is you have to download the app. So go get the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store. Download it. Super easy to use. The user interface is awesome. Really easy to use. In the lobby, a lot of times they have profit boosters, so you make even more money than you would have otherwise. They have free picks where they are giving you a free higher or lower for you to stack into your selections. Pick between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players. You can win up to 5,000 times your original play. Download the app. Use promo code Lance, my name, on your first deposit, and you are going to get $75 in bonus entries after you make your first $5 play. It's that simple. Underdog Fantasy. Watch the games. But
all right, it's 852 ESPN 975 7378037776. The number to call. While we talk some Rockets basketball, lost yesterday, lost Steven Adams for the season. They got a game tonight, back-to-back, another back-to-back game. The Rockets' schedule has got to be the crappiest schedule in the history of schedules. Still the best home team in the league. They're at Atlanta tonight now after having a game at home. Had to get on a plane, get in, what, 2, 3 in the morning? And in Atlanta, and then get up and play this game tonight. Just crap. It's just another crap schedule for them.
Luckily, it's not an 11 o'clock start this morning.
No, it's not an 11. It's a 7 o'clock game, our time.
Yeah, but if this were college football, you know, it might be an 11 o'clock start.
Yeah, but the Rockets don't play college football anymore. Yeah. So you got that. The Cougs were... They had a war on their hands. They had a big lead at half, 43-30, and TCU came out in the second half and just kicked their ass for the first 5-6 minutes of that second half. And then the Cougs with I'm telling you, I think Ramon Walker's three was the biggest play of the game. They're up by two with 8.5 minutes left, and he knocked down a three, and they never got closer than five, and the Cougs pulled away. And Kingston Flemington and Chris Cenac was really good too. He didn't have a really good game against Texas Tech. He got out rebounded, but he bounced back. We got a couple of freshmen that are just really, really good. And then Emmanuel Sharp was good. He took a fall last night. Holy crap, it was bad. And the TCU fans, they had to stop the game because he's laying on the floor like you want Kelvin Cato to do all the time. And he's laying on the floor, and everybody's, you know, it's all packed in the lane, and they had to stop the game, and they picked him up, and they got him off the floor, and they're booing him. TCU people are bad people. They're just bad people. When you're booing a kid that's laying on the floor. Now, he did come in like a play later, like a soccer player. But
did they think he was trying to slow the game down like in college football?
Yeah. They thought, well, they did have possession of the ball, and the refs called. And the ref stopped the clock, and they had to inbound.
See, this is a lot like college football. This basketball, you know, the Rockets had to travel. Luckily, they don't have the noon game on Fox, or the 11 o'clock game on Fox with Joel Klatt and those guys, and, you know, and Matt Leinart out there. We don't have that going on, so that's good.
Right.
I like Charles. I was watching Charles. Man, Charles has lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he has.
Charles, and he kind of needs to tighten his suit game up. It's like, Charles, you're going to have to start – you know, making some alterations a little bit now.
Yeah.
They're too big suits. For him. Yeah, he's getting back to, like, basket, like, in Phoenix. Charles in Phoenix, Charles. Not Charles with the Sixers, Charles. More Charles in Phoenix, Charles.
Yeah. No, he's Ozempic, Charles. There's no question.
He's got to be, right? He's already said that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care. What does he care?
No, we don't care about nothing. No,
he
but he came out the other night. My wife was like, holy crap. He's skinny. I was like, yeah, he just, it's, I don't know. He's got to be, he's on Ozempic. There's no question.
Once again, who cares?
He said last night that it's the NCAA tournament. He says, I'm watching more college games now. It's the Arizona Invitational. Arizona's good.
Wait, Arizona, who said this? Who said Arizona Invitational?
Charles did.
Oh, Charles said that. Okay.
Yeah. He said it's the Arizona Invitational. Arizona's good. They can be beat. They can be had.
They're awfully good.
BYU.
Though.
I mean, Arizona can be had.
Houston's struggling with a lot of teams this year.
This is
not Kelvin's best Houston team.
No, it's not. They're not as tenacious as the other teams. And maybe part of that is freshmen. I don't know. But the other teams were just so. I mean, they were so suffocating defensively. This team doesn't have that at a lot of times.
It felt like there were more three. This is a three-guard. I think you are losing something with Uzan, with Flemings, with Sharp. There's something missing there defensively with the three out front. It's not like they don't defend, but when it was two-guard look and you had a swing, like they're smaller now than they used to be. They're less long. They don't extend as much with the pressure. You don't get as much pressure on the point extended as you were getting with Jamal Shedd in the past. There's little things that are a lot that actually add up here.
Well, last night they got the little guard number two, Brock Harding, and I thought, you know, there was time and again when he had a defender out there out on top on him, and he just ran by him. He got around him, and he had a few more than a few nice passes inside the guys for they missed some, but he had, you know, he had a couple of assists that was just like, wow, you don't see that with a Cougs team, a guy just winning out top and driving the lane uncontested. You just don't see that, and that happened more than you would than I'm sure Kelvin Sampson liked, that's for sure. So they won, the Cougs won, and that's good, 79-70. They played some. Listen, I was like, they're not. This is just not a good basketball team. But they put up their close losses this year. They lost to Michigan by 6. I think Arizona only beat them by 3. They had another overtime game against a really good team. The TCU is scrappy, not very good, but they're scrappy, and they were scrappy for the most part for about 3/4 of that game. But then the Cougs took care of business, which was nice. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here with us. 713-780-3776. We'll get your calls in right away. We haven't even mentioned the hiring. My guy, okay, Knox College is in the house, brother, okay? And the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And we'll see. You talked about it, whether or not Todd Monken is going to keep Shedeur Sanders.
I didn't talk about it. Apparently,
well, Gary talked about it.
Apparently, Dan Orlovsky talked about it. I don't take a lot of what Dan says seriously.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, Dan is he's got to make a lot of speculations.
Yeah, but I mean, this would be for any quarterback. It's just Shedeur rings the bell for them. That's fine. Anybody who had if you had a quarterback who was coming off a rookie season with 7 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, he wasn't one of the first picks of the draft, you'd be talking about what are the Browns going to do at quarterback with the new quarterback guru coming in. Todd Monken is known for his play with quarterbacks. So that's what he's known for. So it makes sense that Monken will already have an opinion on Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders because he was involved in draft stuff. And even though you have Lamar Jackson, you're still looking at backup quarterbacks. So I'm sure he scouted both of those guys. So he already has an opinion on those players, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get to – we'll talk a little Rockets on the other side. Giannis is out there. Is he going to be a Rocket? We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.